Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. What a great message. The message of the cross, the gospel, is still the greatest message there is to get out. And we want to continue to get out the message of the gospel until Christ calls his church home. And so praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, we've been studying the life of Elijah. The life of the great and powerful prophet of God, the servant of the Lord, Elijah. And there's much in the Bible about the servant Elijah, not only Old Testament, but there's several New Testament references to the life of Elijah. And we've studied a lot of those things. But here in 1 Kings chapter 17, we've been here for some time because there's so much right in these first few verses here. It's the first mention of Elijah, and so he comes as an adult, and God reveals much to us, and we've studied much about how he was raised and all the other things, because it tells us a little bit about that as far as where he was from, his name, how the name that his parents gave him, Jehovah is my God, that's what Elijah stands for, and so there's been so much there that we've studied, and now we've been looking at here in the last few weeks how God has directed Elijah, his servant. And can I tell you that that is something that is most important for any Christian, is to make sure that you are being led by the Spirit of God. The decisions we make, and we make decisions every day, and many of those are just simple decisions, but then there's others that are life-changing decisions. And when you're making decisions as a believer, take advantage of the Word of God, take advantage of the presence of God, and He wants to help us. He wants to lead us in making the right decisions in our lives, because God wants to work through our lives for His honor and His glory. So very important. And so we've been looking at some of those things from the life of Elijah. Elijah's dynamic first assignment was to go before King Ahab and pronounce the judgment of God upon Israel. And wow, what a powerful, dynamic first assignment for Elijah. Well, his second was a not so dynamic. The second assignment was go hide yourself. And that's not what Elijah, after having a powerful first assignment, you think he was ready to just charge ahead. But God says it's not the right time. And timing is everything in life. It really is. And God is one that we need to look to concerning timing, because He understands past, present, and future timing. Okay? And He works the circumstances out in life and the timing, the exact time of things, so that it might play into His will. And we study the life of the Apostle Paul. The one main thought we had with studying the life of the Apostle Paul was God has the whole world in eternity in view all the time. Eternity, past, present, future, the whole world, all around the world. And He has that in mind in every decision He leads us to make. So it's very important that we understand that God is leading us in making the decisions of our lives. God would lead him to a place called Cherith. And there in Cherith, we studied last week that God would protect Elijah while judging Israel. The judgment of no dew and no rain upon the land of Israel. But Elijah would have food and he would have water. He would have protection against Ahab wanting to kill him, because right after Ahab realizes the judgment was coming about, he wanted to kill Elijah, the messenger, instead of looking to God who gave the message. He wanted to kill the obvious, what he could see, and kill Elijah. And so God took him aside to protect him, but at the same time, he would be training him for the next event in his life, the next assignment. But as protecting him and providing for him, he protected him and provided for him by a supernatural and natural means. The supernatural would have been the ravens. Who would have ever thought that God would have used an unclean bird to be able to feed Elijah, to bring him his two meals a day? I seen that and I thought, I've been eating right the whole time. Amen. Who says we need three meals a day? Two meals a day. It just works out better that way. But anyway, we find here that's what God did for Elijah. He brought him two meals a day. He brought him by the ravens, supernatural. God works, can work in the supernatural ways that only God can work. And then the natural means by the brook. It was just the water. This would have been the last place. God knew where to send him. God knew how he was going to dry up the land. He knew that this would be the last place that the water would dry up. And so he put him in a place, a secluded place, where he would be able to drink the water, a natural means, and be taken care of supernaturally by the ravens. Well, tonight, I want to look at Elijah's time at Cherith and how it would be used by God to prepare him for future assignments. And because we know much of the future assignments of Elijah, one of the great prophets, and he's not finished with him yet. I think he's going to be, him and Moses, is going to be the two prophets in the tribulation period that are going to be representing God, and the world will not be able to hurt them. And if you know anything about the two witnesses that are going to come during the tribulation time, I believe, and most of the Bible scholars that I know believe it is the two, Elijah and Moses will be there. That was the two that was on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has plans for Elijah. He had plans for his present and the future for Elijah, and he would be a mighty, mighty servant of the Lord. And so there's much in understanding how God prepared him. And so tonight, go ahead and stand with me. Let's start reading in verse 5, chapter 17, verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 9. Everybody plugged in tonight? I trust you are. I know there's been a lot going on. Amen. And get around the holidays, there's a lot of people have a lot of different emotions, some good, some bad. You know, a lot of things taking place this time of the year. And it can be a depressing time for some and a joyous time for others. And no matter what, when you come to the house of the Lord, plug into what God has for you, because no matter what it is you're going through, God has some help for you. And I love that. I love that. God has help for us through the preaching and the teaching of His Word. And so let's look here, 1 Kings 17, verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. That's always the right thing. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while. I've got that underlined. I think that's a key point in that in this assignment of Elijah. After a while, that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church tonight. And for all that are here that took advantage of it. God, you know what we have need of tonight. And I pray that you would help us to be sensitive to receiving exactly what you have for each one here this evening. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Elijah's time at Cherith would be used to prepare him for future assignments. The future assignments that we will be studying here in the life of Elijah in the Old Testament, but then also the future assignments that Elijah, I think, will be taken part of later on. And we already have read some of those in the New Testament about his future assignments would be that he would be with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so he would have to obtain a certain spiritual level that very few would ever be able to obtain. I mean, just in what God had prepared for him and what God was going to do through this great servant and prophet of God, Elijah. And so knowing that, understanding that this right here was a very critical time in Elijah's life, God had some powerful plans for Elijah. And so Elijah's time at Cherith, how long? Did God tell him to go to Cherith and stay there for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? He didn't. Elijah didn't know how long he would be at Cherith. He knew what was going to take place while he was at Cherith. He knew that God was going to judge Israel and there would be no dew nor rain. How long it would take with no dew and no rain, time to get Israel to the place where God wanted Israel to be, for God to do a work in judgment and then try to bring Israel back around to himself. God knew exactly how long it would take, but he did not present that to Elijah. He just said, be obedient. Go. And Elijah didn't ask. He just went. Now, the Bible does tell us, as we continue to study, just how long it would be. In the book of James in chapter 5, and we've already looked at this, you don't have to go back there, but in James revealing the prayer, power in prayer that Elijah had, it said it didn't rain because of Elijah's prayer for 3.5 years. So for 3.5 years, and we find this in the New Testament. So we know now, as we study the Old Testament, we put it all together, and God's given to us a completion. He's given the whole Bible to us so we can learn from both. And so he says, so we know now that God knew that it would be 3.5 years in between the time of his first assignment and the assignment when he would go back to Ahab and meet the other prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and call down fire from heaven, because right after that, then it rained. And how God wanted to prepare Ahab and Israel for that time period where the people would then make a decision, and we'll see this later on. You choose between Baal and God. You think Baal's God? Go serve him. Think God, the true Jehovah God, is God. You better be serving him. And so we'll get into that. But before that time, we find Elijah at Cherith. And so we know that there was 3.5 years. There would only be one other assignment before he would go to Mount Carmel. And we'll study that in verse 9 down to verse 24 when he goes to Zarephath. He'll be going to Zarephath, and there God's going to take care of him by a widow woman. And more than her taking care of him, God is going to actually use Elijah to take care of her and bringing her son back to life. And we'll see that, and that's another powerful illustration on God's hand upon Elijah's life. So with that in mind, then he would be at Cherith for anywhere between 2 and 3 years. Most believe it would have been about 2.5 years. Now, Cherith, he would be there being fed by the ravens and drinking of the brook with no one else there for 2.5 years. Now, God had future plans, and God was going to work something miraculous in Elijah's life. But can I tell you what, God, it takes sacrifice. It takes dedication to be prepared for how God's going to work in our life. So, what would he learn? What would he learn while he was there in Cherith? Can I tell you the first thing that I, as we study and understand the life of Elijah and where he was, where he's at in Cherith, and where he will eventually be, Elijah would learn of the importance of solitude or time alone with no one else but God. If you're going to be mightily used of God, then it's going to take time for you to get to know who God is. It's going to be time alone, not trying to please somebody else in your service to God, but just you individually getting alone with the Word of God, which represents who God is, and studying. It's going to take you as an individual taking available of precious prayer closet time, where it's just you and God, not a husband, not a wife, not a mom and dad, not a preacher, not a Sunday school teacher, not a youth worker, If you really want to be prepared and prepare yourself to be fully used as God wants to use us, and God has future plans for us. Mark it down. God has future plans for everyone. But to prepare for those future plans, to fulfill all that God would have us to fulfill in our service to the Lord, there's got to be time alone with God. And Psalms in 46, verse 46, chapter 46, 6, verse 10 says this, "Be still and know." Be still, praise the Lord for being still, but the idea there, and know. Sometimes we have to be still. Stop imagining a lot of things and stop listening and stop reading and stop turning on the news just to fill your mind with everything that's going on in the world. And be still and know that I am God. God says, know me. Especially when you're getting ready to make a decision that's going to impact your life and your family and possibly others around you. Know God. Because God is the one that we need to make sure that we are making right decisions. Amen. We're impacted by that every day. Time to think. Time to pray, time to meditate on no one else but God. Wow. Now, I love this because the Bible says twice a day, God would work in Elijah's life in a supernatural way. And God would work in Elijah's life in a natural way. For 2.5 years, let's just, for preaching sake and for us to understand it, we don't know for sure, but we know it's somewhere between 2 and 3 years. And as we study it all, I think it would be around 2.5 years. Most agree to that. So just think about this. For 2.5 years, he would have no communication with anyone else outside of God. No other human being, as far as we know. There's nothing there. But two times a day, every day, like clockwork, he would be impacted by the thought of God working in a supernatural way to bring him to supply his need. Every time the ravens would bring the meat or the bread or the food, whatever it was, we don't know. I know that ravens were an unclean bird because they ate a lot of unclean things. Israel was not allowed to eat ravens because they would have been considered an unclean bird. And usually it's because of what they did, what kind of food they ate on, fed upon, which would determine if they were clean or unclean. And so we find these ravens would bring food, an unclean bird, and God did this because he wanted Elijah, every time the raven would bring food to him, to think, wow, God, you're faithful. I believe that whatever it was would have been something that Elijah would have wanted to eat. Most of us that are married, we have our favorite meals. And anytime your wife wants something, she's going to prepare you your favorite meal. Amen? And she knows that you're going to think more highly of her and what her decision to make you what you want, whether she likes it or not. It's more of a sacrifice if it's something that you like that she doesn't like. Amen? And she's going to... Listen to me, I don't know all the dynamics of it, but I do know that God wants us to understand for 2.5 years, there was a supernatural reminder of how God was working in Elijah's life to bring him the necessities and even possibly some of the desires of his heart concerning his food. And I notice here, the Bible says ravens. It wasn't just what one bird could hold in its mouth for Elijah to have to eat on. Sometimes, you know, it's who knows how many ravens? Who knows if it was a 3-course meal, a 10-course meal? But the Bible says ravens, and twice a day they would bring him different foods and whatever it might have been. But every time Elijah would acknowledge, he wouldn't have been communicating with anyone else. And so I don't know, he might have been talking to the ravens when they came. They might have been his favorite pets, whatever it was. But we know that they represented a supernatural act of God by taking care of him. No one else there. I guarantee you, Elijah was thanking God every time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for providing. Thank you for your love and care. Thank you for your protection. I'm here, and Ahab's out looking for me to kill me, and yet you've protected me by placing me here at this place. And he'd be drinking of the natural. When water was drying up all around Samaria, we find that the water was still there. For a while, after a while. After a while, the Bible says. It didn't say how long. I wonder after a year, I wonder if Elijah would have said, Lord, is it about time? After a year and a half? I don't know. I'm telling you that the time alone with God for 2.5 years with no CNN, with no other daily news, with no other communication except with a bird outside of God. What communication? Can you just... His communication during that time would have been with God. Wow. That's powerful stuff. It's been said our time of training in secret must far exceed our time of acting in public. If we all would take that to heart, before I ever act in public in any other relationship, I've spent more time in my relationship with God to make sure I respond as God would have me to. I preach what God would have me to preach. You minister as God would have you to minister. Why? Because you know, because you've spent time with God. It would be for a time, not a lifetime. God had purposes. He's going to go to Mount Carmel. We already know the end of the story. We know what's taking place. He didn't know that. So it was for a time, not a lifetime. Not a lifetime of seclusion. Listen to me. What good are we here if we just seclude ourselves? What good are we here if we are not being used by God to do whatever it is that God would have us to do? Listen to me. God is preparing us, and He wants you to be prepared. And the first thing that we do to be prepared to be used by God is spend time with God. I love that. Now, Elijah, he would have some powerful things ahead of him. 2.5 years. Time alone. Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert, away from Israel, away from Egypt. He had a wife and some sheep and some other few people that he would commune with, but the Bible clearly says 40 years on the backside of the desert. And preparing him to be used by God. Israel, 40 years in the wilderness wanderings. After they refused to go in the first time, God said, all right, then 40 years out in the wilderness wandering, and all of those that chose not to go in are going to die, but you'll be preparing those that are going to go in by letting them know your mistakes and not following God's lead. And then one of my favorite as far as this very same understanding of how God works, He works in time alone with Him to make sure that we understand the very will of God. In Revelation chapter 1, it was John, the apostle John, on the island of Patmos. He's there for the preaching of the Word of God. But look what the Bible says here about John in Revelation chapter 1. Let me read it to you real quick. Revelation chapter 1. In verses 9 and 10, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was a secluded place, a place that was meant for torment, that he would not have anybody around to communicate with, have no fellowship. He was isolated on this island of Patmos. And John says this in verse 10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet. What was he doing on an isolated island where they thought they were punishing him to not be around any family, about anybody else, just isolated on an island? What John was doing when he was isolated on the island of Patmos was spending time with Almighty God. And then the Spirit of God came to him and revealed exactly why he was there and how God would use him to write the book of Revelation. But he spent time with God before God would come and reveal to him the purpose for the solitude. Time alone, alone time. If you go back in 1 Kings chapter 17, we find the second thing here is Elijah would learn humility. Now, after the first assignment, and you think, wow, I mean, what adrenaline. Standing before King Ahab, who was killing all the other prophets of God and Jezebel, and Baal worship was actually overcoming the worship of Jehovah. And he stands before Ahab and presents the judgment of God. Often, power can lead to pride. That's why the Bible says, even in the position of a pastor, not a novice, because it could lead to a position of pride and thinking that you are somebody. And God has no place in his service for anybody that thinks that they are somebody. Jesus himself, who was and is God, became a servant as an example to us to realize we are nobodies. We are serving somebody that is great, but we are just servants. So Elijah would learn humility by now hiding. Yes, you did a powerful thing in standing before Ahab, and I've got more plans for you, but you have to be brought back down a little bit here. You have to come to the place to realize it's not you that's able to do what only I can do, God is telling him. And so I want you to go to Cherith. And during his time at Cherith, spending time alone with God, he was also learning humility. I think of David, a man after God's own heart. It's only because of pride that he thought that he didn't have to go out as other kings went out, and that he could get by with a one-night stand with Bathsheba. Pride. I think of Moses. Instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. He did it his way, not God's way. Pride. I think of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Write it down, or let me just read it to you. You know the verse as well. Paul was going to be used greatly of God, but Paul would have to learn humility so that the power that he would have as a servant of God would not go to his head for him to think that he was somebody. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, in verse 7, first of all here, after Paul acknowledged that he actually was taken to the third heaven, he saw things that no other man had seen. And the Bible says, and he says this, unless I should be exalted above measure, this pride get into my heart, and other people even, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Something that he would constantly be aware of, constantly understand that his weakness of the flesh. He needed that. He even says, thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes we go through some tough things, and God's just trying to teach us humility. And if that's what it takes, then as Paul said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmity and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, Lord, I can do nothing, then am I strong. But through you I can do all things. That's what Paul was saying. Elijah, through learning humility, was learning dependence upon God. The last thing, and we're done tonight, but Elijah would learn self-discipline to stay where God planted him until God moved him. 2 Kings chapter 17, look back there with me. 1 Kings, rather, 17, our text. 2 years? God, is it time? I mean, I've enjoyed this idea of just spending time with you. God, I enjoy every time I see the ravens come, trying to figure out, all right, what's on the menu today? God, it's been 2 years. Getting antsy. I'm ready. I'm ready now. I'm ready to move on. I know that I'm ready to do what you want me to do. Can I tell you, only God knows when the time is right. And so here we find, and it came to pass, after a while, the brook dried up. The water would dry up. Doesn't say it, but you know, if God calls the ravens to take food to Elijah, the supernatural, that would have stopped at the very same time that the natural water supply stopped, because God was closing a door for Elijah to stay at the brook of Cherith. Can I tell you, as I understand how God works and I look through the scriptures and I walk, God closes a door before he opens another door. God closes the door sometimes to the supernatural, spirit. God works in a spirit. And there's something inside of you that you know, because the Spirit of God is moving in a supernatural way. And then God can also work in the circumstances of the natural. No doubt there would have been a temptation to leave Cherith when Elijah saw the water almost dried up. You see, because for it to dry up, that means that there was a time that he took the last cup of water out of it. He was working harder and harder to get the water as it was drying up. And during that time, he's thinking, do I trust God and stay, or is it time for me to go? Is it time for me to make a decision, because this water is going to dry up? And I can see that there's not as much here that was here yesterday. There's not as much here that was here a month ago. And so maybe it's time for me to go now before it ever dries up. And if he would have left before it dried up, he would have left before God was telling him to leave. God had a way of giving him peace about a decision that needed to be made. God has a way of giving you peace about a decision that needs to be made. Especially life-changing decisions. Listen to me, God is still on the throne. And if you're saved, you're still a child of God, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Making that right decision, young people will determine, could determine who you're going to marry and spend the rest of your life with. If you make a decision before it's time, you might run into somebody that's not the right man that God wants for you girls, and you might end up marrying somebody based on your desire and lust other than God designed it. Because decisions that we make will affect our futures. He wouldn't want to leave too early. But listen to me, nor would he want to stay too long. When the ravens stopped coming and the water dried up, he would die if he stayed at Cherith. Amen. So the door was closed. God closed the door supernaturally, and then God spoke. He spoke to him at Cherith. If he had left prematurely, he would not have heard the voice of God. And the word of the Lord came unto him after the raven stopped feeding, after the brook dried up, and he was there waiting on God. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." God knows where he wants you to dwell. Elijah, this great servant of God, stayed until he learned all that God had him there to learn. And then as God closed the door, he listened to God about a next assignment. Listen to God. Make sure that you're focused on spending time alone with God. How important it is. Humble yourself. Do not look to think that you can make the decisions for your life without God. Seek His will. Stay close to Him. God will lead you to make the right decisions. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.